Here's an old New Yorker cartoon. Two upper middle-aged couples are sitting in a very upper middle-class living room. And the husband of one of them is saying, "Of course it's had its ups and downs, but by and large Margaret and I have found the consumer experience to be a rewarding one." That's a lot of the problem with our society right now. We're here for the consumer experience. We've been trained in a consumer mentality. The problem with the consumer mentality is that it wants maximum amount of pleasure with a minimum amount of effort, minimum amount of sacrifice. We needed some more producer mentality, realizing that there are goals we want, and it's going to take a lot of work to get there. And we're willing to put forth the effort. Of course, that's a skill. Because you can't just work without enjoying the work and without enjoying the prospect of making progress. Even when progress is slow, you have to be able to talk yourself into enjoying the fact that you're on a good path. So even though we would like to have all the comforts of the path, we read about the bliss, we read about the rapture. We say, "Well, I'd like that. I'm not going to give up my sensual pleasures until I get that. Then I'll give up my sensual pleasures." It doesn't work that way. Think of the Buddha on his way to awakening. As he said, there's a point where he realized that his mind was going to have to give up thinking about sensuality. And he didn't leap up at the prospect. That's understandable. But then he made another step. He said he realized that if he didn't give them up, he would never get where he wanted to go. So even though he wasn't there yet, he was able to make sacrifices. You see this in all the lists of the factors for awakening. The bliss of concentration, the bliss that comes with discernment, comes at the end of the five faculties, the end of the five strengths. It starts with conviction. The four bases of success start with desire. The Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view and right resolve. The right view about what's going to cause suffering, what's not going to cause suffering, what's going to take you away from suffering, and then being resolved to do what needs to be done to get into right concentration. But then there are steps between the resolve and the actual concentration. One of them is in the right resolve, giving up sensuality, in other words, giving up your fascination with thoughts of sensual pleasures, giving up ill will, giving up harmfulness. These are precisely the things you need to give up in order to get the mind to where it's secluded from sensuality, secluded from unskillful thoughts, unskillful mental states, so you can get into the first jhana. But there are steps in between. One of the big ones is effort. Just as desire is followed by persistence and the four bases for success. And conviction is followed by persistence and the five faculties and the five strengths. So the trick is, as the Buddha said, learning to make yourself want to do the things that you may not like doing but you know will give long-term results. Make yourself want to avoid doing the things that you like to do but you know will give long-term harm. It's a matter of psyching yourself up, knowing how to talk to yourself. This is where you can use all kinds of ways of dealing with your mind. You know probably better than anybody else what kind of approach works with you to get yourself off your rear end doing something when you'd much rather just lie around and rest. How do you talk to yourself? What gets you up to work? In some cases it's being stern. In other cases you use your humor. Read a lot of John Mahabua about his techniques for dealing with himself. He tended to be the kind of person who tended to respond really well to sort of harsh treatment. Some of us read that and we feel a little bit put off. You know, if that's what's required, then we're not up to it. Well, that's what worked with his mind. And remember that at some points in the practice, you will have to be harsh with yourself. It doesn't work all the time. Think of John Lee. He was the kind of person who was more strategic. And he used humor a lot in getting himself to stick with the practice. Think of the Buddha in his way of teaching. He would instruct, urge, arouse, and encourage. One part information, three parts pep talks. In some cases, the pep talks were phrased as, "We know you can do this. Other people have done it. They can do it. They're human beings. I'm a human being. If they can do it, why can't I?" Or the case of his cousin who comes in and is really discouraged in his practice. His meditation is going nowhere. He's thinking of disrobing. And the Buddha says, "Look, I'm here to help you. Take my help." So learn how to provide yourself with help. Learn what works in your case. Remember that being secluded from sensuality doesn't mean you give up sensual thoughts forever just to get into concentration. Just put it aside for the time being. It's not going to kill you. And learn some skills. This is what it means to be a producer. Like someone who's mastering a musical instrument. You have to go off and play for yourself. You can't yet have the enjoyment of playing for other people. And you have to do your scales. You have to do your whatever the technique is involved in your instrument. And some of it's pretty boring, but you'll learn how to make it interesting. So even when the progress is slow, you console yourself with stories of people whose progress was slow, but they stuck with it and got out. Think of the Denny. Back in that story of the 1820s, 1830s, there was an Englishman, I've forgotten his name now, who wanted to see the copper deposits up in the north of the Northwest Territories. He was on the coast of Hudson Bay. And there were some Denny who were going to go past that spot, so they offered to take him. One of the first cases where an Englishman entrusted his life to a band of natives. And he noticed as they were going through the wilderness that on the days when the hunting was really bad, everybody was hungry, those were the days when they joked with one another the most, laughed the most, to keep their spirits up. So learn whatever is needed to keep your spirits up. Because there'll be fallow periods when you're putting in the work and the results just don't seem to be coming. But you can't let that stop you. If you want instant pleasures, you're going back to that consumer mentality. And that's the mentality of an addict. Which just goes spiraling down, down, down. It's the producers of the world that find genuine happiness. The difference between pleasure and gratification. Pleasure is simply when you enjoy the sights and sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations that the world has to offer. Gratification is when you realize you've mastered a skill. So think of whatever skills you've mastered. Try to apply the same principles here. We had a person visiting us way back in the beginning years of the monastery. His mind would swing back and forth between extremes. Some days he wanted nothing but arahantship. Other days he didn't want to practice at all. So I said, well, think of some skills you had in the past, how you were able to apply yourself, modulate your desire so it's just right for your persistence. In other words, it doesn't get in the way of your persistence, but you're able to keep it going, keep it going. So I went back. Next day he came back to me and said, "You know, I have no skills." That was the problem. Learning a skill requires that you learn how to balance your persistence with your desire and keep on going even when the results seem to be small, confident that the results will have to get big at some point. This is a path that many people have followed in the past, people of all kinds, people who were inclined to it, talented, people who were not inclined to it, not talented, but realized they had to do it. Because if you don't learn how to put it into your suffering, you're just going to keep on suffering more and more and more without end. Ask yourself, haven't you had enough? So learn the talents of learning to be good at what you're not talented at yet. Learning a skill in that situation is a skill in and of itself. It comes down to these qualities: conviction, desire, right resolve. Learning how to talk to yourself, to lift your spirits. So you can provide yourself with your own nourishment. And the nourishment of the factors of jhana is not there yet. There should be some nourishment from being generous, some nourishment from being virtuous, some nourishment from the simple fact that you're here meditating, training your mind. The mind may be resistant, but it's got to be trained. So develop the talents you need to do what needs to be done. Because if you don't do it, it's not going to get done.